Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Scoville Sculpture Park, Wander, Ponder Outdoor Art, Large-Scale Works Made by Sculptors from Across U.S. by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Rising from the rolling hills between Decatur's Scoville Zoo and the Children's Museum of Illinois are the newest large-scale forms of art. Peoria resident Heather Brammeyer learned about the Scoville Sculpture Park during a visit to the area. After she returned home, she studied the area and found the Decatur Parks Foundation was searching for artists to add new artwork to the sculpture park. Coincidentally, there was a call out for entries for this, the artist said. Brammeyer was one of five artists selected to create new pieces for the Scoville Sculpture Park. With a new understanding of the area, Brammeyer wanted to create a saturated in color, she said. It's visible way far away, she added. It draws you in. Brammeyer has been working with these altered triangle forms, so she created the walking triangle before it made its home in the Decatur display. It's kind of like it's turning or moving through space, Brammeyer said. An artist for 26 years and a professor of art at Bradley University, Brammeyer has had large outdoor installations on display throughout the world, including Germany and Uruguay. But I love this park. It's beautiful, she said. According to Ali Dalat, Decatur Parks Foundation director, the Scoville Sculpture Park was created in 2015 through a partnership with the Decatur Area Arts Council, the Children's Museum of Illinois, Scoville Zoo, and the Decatur Park District. Later, the Howard G. Buffett Foundation donated approximately $300,000 to revitalize the area. We put in the walking path. We put in the concrete pads. We flattened some of the areas out so that it was more friendly to navigate it, Dalat said. The original goal was to have 10 rotating pieces every 2 years, Dalat said. Because the Parks Foundation relies on donations, they had to revamp the plans. We were going to have local sponsors to fund the artists, then have some reserves to maintain the park, Dalat said. It just got really difficult to seek sponsorships for all 10 pieces every 2 years. The Park Foundation recently received $15,000 from a local grant through the Busey Bank Foundation. Now, 5 pieces will be installed in the sculpture park. Another 5 sculptures will be added next year. Dalat sought advice from others regarding what should be in the park. We were just trying to be cognizant of everybody that's going to be around it, she said. Out of several candidates who applied for the exhibit, 2 artists are from Illinois, others are from Maryland, Michigan, and Minnesota. It's a good showing of art all over the country, Dalat said. The pieces selected needed to be family-friendly and look good in the space located between the museum and the zoo. Whimsical pieces that encouraged creativity and happiness were important as well, but it's public art for everybody, Dalat said. The sculpture park has 3 permanent pieces, including a butterfly, a dragon, and 2 large horns. The new pieces will be leased to the park district for 3 years. Each artist used different mediums, including metal, wood, and reclaimed materials, to create the sculptures. Traveling all the way from Maryland, Kirk Cease brought a metal sculpture called The Mining Ant to its new home in Decatur. His artwork has been seen in parks across the country for more than 20 years. The Mining Ant isn't the first piece at the Scoville Sculpture Park for Cease. The feather was on display approximately 8 years ago. It was on a 2-year loan, he said. Cease currently has sculptures in 36 states. Decatur was a convenient stop on his way to California to set up another display. Once the lease is up, the artwork finds its way back to Maryland, where Cease repurposes the materials or sends it to another park. It's rare that I have a surplus at home, he said. but some of them come home and await their next selection. This article is accompanied by four full-color photos attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. The first shows a man with his hand on a shiny purple sculpture, and it is captioned, "Artist Kirk Sees of Maryland adds finishing touches of spray paint to his sculpture at Scoville Sculpture Park, in Decatur, on Tuesday, July 21st. The next photo shows a female assembling a two-part blue and green sculpture and is captioned, "Artist Heather Brammeyer of Peoria installs her sculpture at Scoville Sculpture Park in Decatur on Tuesday, July 21st. The third photo shows a man and a woman shaking hands in front of a truck parked in a parking lot, and in the truck's bed is what looks like the framework of a sculpture. And it is captioned, "Allie DeLotte, Decatur Parks Foundation Director, welcomes artist Howard Russo of St. Charles and his sculpture, Twisted Rocket, to the Scoville Sculpture Park in Decatur on Tuesday, July 21st. And the final photo shows a close-up of the mining ant with a hand holding a spray can. And it is captioned, "Artist Kirk Sees of Maryland adds finishing touches of spray paint to his sculpture, The Mining Ant, at Scoville Sculpture Park in Decatur on Tuesday, July 21st. Mideast War. Trump threatens civilian targets. U.S. strikes widen from southern to western central parts of Iran, by Jana Chokier, Elweli Elweli, and Michael Martina. Reuters, Dubai. Four more tankers changed course in the Red Sea on Wednesday after Iran-aligned Houthis in Yemen threatened the southern route out, highlighting a new risk to global oil supplies from the intensifying war between the U.S. and Iran. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said Iran was not serious about peace talks, and Pakistan, which has been mediating, condemned the disruption to a second critical energy route, where three tankers turned around on Tuesday. Both Rubio and Pakistan said they still back the idea of negotiations. The Houthis' threat Tuesday to Saudi oil shipments heading south to the Bab el-Mandab Strait, past areas of the coast they control, comes on top of Iran's near-total blockade of the Strait of Hormuz in the Gulf. Oil prices rose to a near six-week high on Wednesday. U.S. gasoline prices, which have weighed on President Donald Trump's poll ratings ahead of midterm elections in November, have climbed back over $4 a gallon. Trump threats. Trump threatened on social media to destroy a bridge or power plant in Iran anytime Iran shoots at a ship in the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. strikes already widened from the south to western and central areas of Iran in recent days. An Iran health ministry official said 53 civilians were killed and 592 wounded this month. The U.S. claims it doesn't target civilians. Iran strengthened its military in anticipation that its adversaries would break agreements, Army Commander-in-Chief Major General Amir Hatami said. Iranian media also cited Parliamentary National Security and Foreign Policy Committee spokesperson Hassan Kashkavi as saying Trump was in a quagmire. Millions of barrels of Saudi oil per day have been heading to Saudi Arabia's Red Sea port of Yanbu to avoid the Strait of Hormuz. If shipments cannot pass through the Red Sea's southern Bab el-Mandab Strait, they have only the northern route out via the Suez Canal, which adds weeks to the journey. Iran has hit vital water desalinization and energy plants in Kuwait and says it targeted U.S. military assets there and in Bahrain and Jordan. Rubio said the U.S. would protect its interests. The problem we're having right now is that they're not serious about talks. If they're serious, we're serious. If they're not, then we will do what's necessary to protect our interests and also the interests of our allies, he said at a meeting of Southeast Asian foreign ministers in Manila. Peace talks. Mediators have presented Iran with a proposal for a 10-day ceasefire, a senior Iranian official told Reuters on Monday. Analysts said the new threat to shipping from the Houthis on Tuesday was a tactical move by Iran. Tehran is trying to create leverage for a negotiation, said Mahmoud Sharah, associate fellow, Middle East and North Africa program at Britain's Chatham House think tank. The proposal aims to salvage an interim ceasefire agreement signed by Washington and Tehran in June. Iran's interior minister, Iskander Momeni, visited Pakistan this week and asked it to continue its mediating efforts. Pakistan said on Wednesday that it would, but that the safety of shipping must be assured. Iran insists on maintaining control over the Strait of Hormuz that it established during the war launched by the U.S. and Israel on February 28th. Rubio said allowing such control would set a dangerous precedent for the world, including Southeast Asia, where many countries have territorial disputes with China in the South China Sea. Explosions over Tehran. The war has killed thousands of people, and Iran's restrictions on energy shipments from Gulf states have driven inflation worldwide. In the 11th straight night of U.S. bombing of Iran, Tehran residents reported explosions in the early hours of Wednesday from air defenses activated over the capital, Iran's semi-official Fars news agency said. Three locations in Iran's Bushehr province, home to Iran's only nuclear power plant, were hit, an official told Iran's state news agency, IRNA, including an electricity post close to the plant. Iranian media also said the United States targeted locations in Kabudaharang County in central Hamadan province, giving no details. Iran's army said it struck accommodation and storage facilities at the U.S. Al-Azraq Air Base in Jordan, targeted warehouses and aircraft maintenance hangars at Sheikh Issa Air Base in Bahrain, and also targeted Camp Doha in Kuwait. Reuters was unable to immediately verify details of the attacks. Jordan, Kuwait, and Bahrain all said they had intercepted Iranian attacks. Trump said earlier that 18 U.S. service members were killed in the war so far, including four in Iranian attacks on U.S. military bases in Jordan and Iraq over the last few days. Food and drink. Monocles at South Shores closing. Pizza restaurant shifting workers to other locations. By Scott Perry, Decatur. As construction begins on a new restaurant addition to the South Shores area, another longtime restaurant has closed. In a Facebook post, Monocle's Pizza announced the restaurant in the South Shores Shopping Center is closed as of Tuesday. While we had hoped to continue serving you at this location for many more years, circumstances have changed, read the note, which also was posted on the door of the business. We are fortunate that many of our valued team members will be joining our other Decatur area Monocle's Pizza restaurants. Those locations are at 2230 South Mount Zion Road and 4333 Prospect Drive. Thank you for your loyalty, friendship, and support over the years. We hope to see you soon at our other locations, as you are an important part of our Monocle's Pizza family. The announcement comes as workers begin moving dirt across US 51 for a new McDonald's restaurant. That restaurant, on the site of what used to be a PNC bank, is expected to open in November. Decatur hires Deputy City Manager, by Tony Reed, Decatur. A woman with a distinctive name and impressive credentials has been hired as the City of Decatur's Deputy City Manager. Shamra Robinson holds a bachelor's degree in business administration, a master's degree, and a doctorate in organizational leadership. She starts her new job July 27th at a salary of $182,100 and comes to Decatur from Peoria, where she served as Director of Community Engagement and Public Relations for the Greater Peoria Transportation District. A statement from Decatur City Manager Melissa Hahn said Robinson has 22 years of experience in local government. We are all excited to fill an important leadership role by hiring Shamra as deputy city manager, Han added. Her experience stood out to us, and I am eager to watch the immediate impact she'll have on the community. I'm confident her unique vision and skill set will complement and enhance the momentum we have going in Decatur. A statement from Robinson said she was looking forward to her new job. I'm excited to bring my collaborative leadership style and community-centered perspective to Decatur, she added. I look forward to partnering with city leaders, staff, and residents to advance the city's continued progress. Robinson's Facebook page says she grew up in a family that encouraged the pursuit of educational achievement, and she also believes her path through life has been divinely inspired. In a posting May 14th, after earning her PhD, May 14th, 2023, after earning her PhD, she wrote, God strategically designed and planned this fantastic opportunity for me. He placed the right people in my life, and with urgency, even removed some people simultaneously to ensure I reached my end goal. I thank God for his greatness. He makes no mistakes. Western reservoirs at record low levels. Severe water crisis stalks states relying on Colorado River by Ian James, Los Angeles Times. Lake Mead and Lake Powell, the country's two largest reservoirs, have fallen to their lowest combined levels on record, a grim marker in the deepening water crisis across seven states that depend on the Colorado River. The two reservoirs are now lower than the previous record in 2023, researchers say. It's a hell of a milestone, said Jack Schmidt, director of Utah State University's Center for Colorado River Studies. Really a teaching moment to all of us of the severity of the crisis. Lake Mead, near Las Vegas, the country's largest reservoir, is 27% full. Lake Powell, on the Utah-Arizona border, the second largest, is at just 23% of capacity. If it drops 33 more feet, water won't reach its intakes to generate hydroelectric power. Schmidt and five other researchers wrote in a white paper that the new low underscores the urgency of using less water. They predicted the reservoirs will keep setting records every day until snows come and bring the next seasonal pulse of runoff. It's unclear whether the strong El Nino conditions this year might provide some relief. The latest three-month forecast by the National Weather Service predicts above-average rainfall along the river and in much of the Southwest through October. The Colorado River provides water for about 35 million people and 5 million acres of farmland from the Rocky Mountains to northern Mexico. The water was originally divided among the states in 1922 under an agreement that overpromised what the river could provide. For decades, so much water was taken that the river seldom meets the sea in Mexico, and its delta, once filled with lush wetlands and forests, has shriveled to stretches of dry riverbed. In the last 27 years, the river has shrunk dramatically. Research has shown that global warming is intensifying the extremely dry conditions. Since 2020, the flow of the Colorado has averaged 32% less than during the last century. This year, the upper portion of the river's watershed in the Rocky Mountains had the least snow on record. If you need more evidence that we have a five-alarm fire, here it is, Schmidt said. Trump administration officials have told state leaders they are drawing up a 10-year plan to deal with the shortages. Close observers expect them to release it soon. The changes that are going to be necessary to live in this world of reduced runoff are going to be incredibly significant, Schmidt said. We need to get seven states to agree together or accept a mandate from the federal government that major reductions have to be implemented right now. Negotiators for the seven states are so far deadlocked in talks on how to cut water use, with the disagreements pitting three downstream states, California, Arizona, and Nevada, against the upstream states of Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico. Representatives of California, Arizona, and Nevada have offered to make substantial cuts, using about 1.6 million acre-feet less annually over the next 2 years. But state officials have said the Trump administration is leaning toward mandatory cutbacks of up to twice that much per year for those three states, as much as 40% of their combined allotments. That's nearly as much as all the water that flowed from 19 million people's taps across Southern California last year. Although it's important to remember that most Colorado River water goes to agriculture, hay, lettuce, broccoli, and other crops. Federal officials seem to be trying to put some structure in place that pushes the states to try again, maybe with a slightly different playing field, to see if the states can come to some sort of agreement, said Jennifer Pitt, director of the National Audubon Society's Colorado River Program. Reaching a consensus would be the best outcome for all users along the Colorado River, Pitt said, because a court battle holds tremendous uncertainty. Over the last 5 years, cities across Southern California have received nearly one-fourth of their water from the Colorado River. They've tried to rely on it less, with some success. Those efforts, along with ample water from Northern California, allowed the Board of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California last week to accept $65 million from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation in return for leaving as much as 200,000 acre-feet of water in Lake Mead. That water, equivalent to the annual use of about 600,000 typical households, is expected to add about 3 feet to Lake Mead's level, enough to temporarily stave off critically low levels for a few months. Lake Mead was lower once before, in 2022, but Lake Powell was higher then, so the two combined held more water. In the last 3 years, California, Arizona, and Nevada have turned to voluntary water cutbacks and federal payments to farmers, who agree to leave fields dry part of the year. The Bureau of Reclamation, which manages dams along the river, now plans to provide an additional $100 million for water conservation programs in the four upstream states, paying farmers and ranchers who agree to use less. The saved water will remain in reservoirs, helping to slow their unrelenting decline. Early access to Trump posts targeted. Senator Warner warns Wall Street to reject offer of paid previews by Manya Saini, Tatiana Bautzer, and Pete Schroeder. Reuters. A top Democratic U.S. senator has urged banks and trading firms to shun a new product offering early access to posts on President Donald Trump's Truth Social program, warning it creates a very troubling form of information asymmetry for government policies, while Wall Street banks showed little interest in the product. Earlier this month, TMTG unveiled a paid, licensed data feed that will give banks and trading firms the fastest access to posts from influential Truth Social accounts, including Trump's, whose posts often move global markets. One source at a large bank said the institution was not considering acquiring the API, and if it did, a review of political risk would be needed. The person asking for anonymity to discuss a sensitive issue said access to the president's Truth Social posts would create a different risk than buying faster access to market or trading data, because it would mean paying for access to a government official discussing policy. A second source familiar with the matter at another major bank said the bank was not currently considering subscribing. Senator Mark Warner, senior Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, asked the heads of the nation's top financial industry trade groups to publicly disavow the arrangement, arguing it would allow Trump to personally profit from government policy announcements. "I urge you to make clear that the financial services industry will not legitimize an arrangement that sells privileged access to market-moving presidential communications, especially for the president's personal financial benefit," he wrote in a letter Tuesday sent to the heads of six major financial trade groups. Warner is also a member of the Senate Banking Committee. spokespeople for the Bank Policy Institute, Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, Managed Funds Association, Financial Services Forum, Principal Traders Group, and American Bankers Association did not respond to requests for comment. The White House referred a request for comment to the Trump Media and Technology Group, DJT.O, which did not respond to a request for comment. The product, called Truth API, will deliver posts from the 10 most influential accounts to customers at a significantly faster pace than a regular push notification on the Truth Social platform. Tech platforms are generally allowed to offer clients early access to data, even if it disadvantages some market participants, according to lawyers. Although other ethics experts have said the situation is unusual because Trump's posts are government information. Reuters has reported, citing sources, that the social media company has discussed charging Wall Street traders and investment firms as much as $100,000 a month for faster access. TMTG has also recently pitched a discounted rate of $60,000 a month for firms that sign up for 3 years, the sources said. The Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust holds roughly 114.75 million shares, representing about 41% of all outstanding stock in Truth Social's parent company, TMTG, according to regulatory filings. That trust administers Trump's investments and is overseen by his children. Digest. Modeling scout linked to Epstein found dead. Paris. A modeling scout with ties to the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein was found dead at his home outside Paris, prosecutors said. Daniel Siad's body was discovered Monday evening. An autopsy will be carried out to determine the cause of death, the Nanterre prosecutor's office said. Siad's name appeared nearly 2,000 times in the Epstein files released by the U.S. Department of Justice. Since a wide-ranging probe into human trafficking and tax fraud was opened in February, following the Epstein files release, 24 women came forward as victims or witnesses of alleged acts committed by Siad or others, Paris prosecutor Laurent Boukoukou said in a statement Wednesday. According to French media, at least five women accused Siad, 69, of rape and human trafficking, allegations Siad denied. Briefly, Nicolas Maduro. A judge set a June 1, 2027 trial date Wednesday for ousted Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, on U.S. drug trafficking charges, while a defense lawyer vowed to seek dismissal of the case on the grounds that Maduro is immune from prosecution as the head of a sovereign state. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. Please stay tuned.